Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
In my soul and in my spirit, that it is about liberty and freedom and joy, and it is truly about enjoying Jesus and enjoying other folks. And one of the things that I enjoy more than anything, because I'm not a hater, I like to see people having a good time. Come on, look at someone and tell them, I like to see people having a good time. And we're having a good time tonight. And I have enjoyed watching you white people shake a tail feather for Jesus. Lord have mercy. I want to announce tonight on behalf of the NAACP that we have a new chef. Come on, somebody, thank God for the new chef. Ronnie Reed has once again shown me the black people are scared tonight, because truly white people are taking over. It is over. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm telling you, to all the great white people, Jim Croce, and to all the great white people, Elvis Presley and the Beatles, and listen, as for me and my house and all, I speak on behalf of every African American in here tonight. We never seen it like this. It was too black for us. Listen, it was too much for us. We just resigned being black tonight. We don't know what we are. We thought we was black when we got here. The bad bass player, the guitar player, the boy, this white, but he was white when he started. Now he's straight out of Africa. He's straight out of Uganda. Look at him. His hair is curling up as we speak. Lord have mercy. I'm still lost between that song I didn't even hear Break Every Chain. I was still caught up in the praise and the worship and the celebratorial. I love watching white people dance. It ain't nothing better in the world. Come on, give God one more hand clap of praise. I just love it. Let's go right into the word of the Lord in Hebrews chapter number 10. When you got it, say amen. Look at somebody and give them an elbow and say, you still got it, baby. You still got it. Whatever it is, you got a double pack of it. It is amazing. Hebrews chapter number 10. And I believe more than anything, when people get free, they really don't care what people think about them. One of the greatest freedoms of bondage is the freedom from other people's opinions and how other people gonna react to you when you show up. You know, when you've been dealing with sins and addictions for a long time, one of the greatest enemies that you face is shame. And there's no greater spirit than the spirit of shame and embarrassment. And you're so bogged down in regret. You regret that people know what you've done. You know, some of y'all old folks can shout because everybody's dead that know you used to be a drunk. You know, everybody dead that know your past. And you keep folk in bondage that are alive because you throw up what they used to do in the past. But the best thing about a person that has a past is, boo, you survived it. And you live to tell the story. Come on, clap your hands if you survived some stuff that would have killed other people. That did kill other people. And if anybody ought to be shouting, it ought to be somebody that can say, I survived what killed other people. Why don't you just give God a shouting praise if you survived what killed other people? Hey! Glory to God. And you come to a church like this, you holler like we own this place. You shout how you want to shout and holler like you want to holler and run like you want to run, because people don't know like you know how God picked you up and turned you around and gave you a reason to live. Somebody say amen. Hebrews chapter number 10, when you got it, say amen. I love Brother Ronnie Reed and his lovely wife, Sherry. And he just got her on the stage and kissed her. I told y'all that she's going to be pregnant by December. Amen. I'm believing God for twins. Somebody say amen. And not only is our first lady going to be soon expecting, but Roger Cash and his wife will soon be right behind them. Somebody, he just looked at me and said, you a liar. You a lie. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 35. When you got it, say amen. Just a little more trouble in the microphone. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let's begin with verse number 35. And when you got it, say amen. Somebody point this way and bind that long-winded demon and pray I could get y'all out of here at least by 11 o'clock tonight. If I can get y'all out of here by 11 o'clock, I would have done my job. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm just kidding. Somebody got to start putting their purse together to leave now. I'm just kidding. Verse 35, Hebrews chapter 10. Cast not away, thank you, therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have what? No pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. For specificity of the text, I pray that you would pay very close attention to verse number 36. For you have need of patience or endurance, faith when facing delays. And how many of you understand that you need faith when facing delays? You may be delayed, but you're not going to be denied. Though it tarry, wait for it. It shall speak and not lie. Because if God gave you a promise, it's impossible for God to lie. And we have this strong consolation that God never lies, can't lie. It's not in his nature to lie. It's not in him to lie. Before one word fails, the heaven and earth will pass away. You need patience. That after you've done the will of God, that you might what? Receive the promise. The definition of the word promise in this context is sure thing. And I want you to repeat after me and say, sure thing. The sure thing. Say it again. The sure thing. Point at somebody and shake your hand and say, it's a sure thing. If God is in it, you got to win it. It's a sure thing. Doesn't matter what it looks like, if God is in it, it is always a sure thing. I want to talk to you for a few moments from this theme, it's a sure thing. And we will notice verse 36 again. The B clause, after you've done the will of God, after you did everything God told you to do and said everything that God told you to say and went everywhere that God told you to go, after you did it, you do your part, God's going to show up in a big way and do his part. And you can't outbeat, outbless, out-miracle God. He's as high as the heavens above. That's how high God's thoughts are and God's ways are concerning us. Sisters and brothers, I want to deal with this sure things. And I want you to lay hands on yourself and say it. My healing is a sure thing. My marriage is a sure thing. My future, sure thing. I have promises from God that are yes and amen. And if God brought me to it, he will see me through it. The righteous are never forsaken. If God is for you, who can be against you? So chill out, child of God. All things are going to work together because this is not your battle. This battle belongs to God. And I want you to stomp your feet three times and say, God don't lose. God never loses. The worst thing that can happen to you and our child of God is that we ever, ever become desperate. Two things that you can't do when on your faith walk with God. And I found out something, Brother Reed, that there are two gods in this world. And I don't believe that the little G-O-D, the little god of this world, referring to Satan, I don't really consider him as powerful as the god your emotions. I want you to know that your emotions can be greater than Satan, and your emotions can supersede your God. And I found out something about people is whenever you overthink or overfeel, overthinking gives you problems that you don't even have. You can overthink yourself into sickness. You can overthink yourself into an anxiety attack. If you're not careful, if you lose your emotions, you lose your mind. And that's what the devil wants you to do, child of God. He doesn't want you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. What the devil wants you to do is overthink and overfeel and overcompensate and think your way right out of the peace of God. Think your way right out of being blessed by God, trying to figure things out on your own, with your own ability, with your own creativity and your own ingenuity, and you always watch things blow up in your face when you don't allow God to work it out. But if you trust and never doubt, God will surely, surely, surely make things work out in your life better than you could ever imagined it, better than you could have ever fixed it. I'm fishing for a witness tonight that knows that overthinking is a demon. Overthinking is a spirit. And if you ever overthink it, it's gonna blow up in your face. Trust God. Don't doubt God. God is going to come through in a big way for you. Sisters and brothers, the promises of God are great and precious. The promises of God are yes and amen. And if God gave you a promise, child of God, usually there is always a wait time between the promise given and the promise fulfilled. And in the middle of that area is where Satan fights you, where your emotions oftentimes take control of your mind or your spirit, and the devil wants you to get to a point where you rush it, or you try to make it happen, or you try to force it to happen. How many of you in your life have been guilty of trying to save your kids or save your marriage, and the more you try to do to fix it, the worse it gets? The more you try to work it out, the darker it becomes, the more dismal it becomes, and the more unlikely you are to see the thing turn around. But when you put it in God's hand, I don't care if it's an addiction, I don't care if it's a marital situation, if you put it in God's hand, He is sure to put it back in your hands, fixed, perfect, complete, and all together. If you try to work it out, you're wasting your time, because the devil's gonna get in it, and the devil's gonna cause you to get all emotionally invested and emotionally centered in trying to fix it, and you cannot fix it on your own. And so, sisters and brothers, I want you to understand something about a promise from God. A promise of God requires perseverance. And the definition of the word perseverance is steadfastness in the face of delay. If God gave you a promise, then the devil is going to fight you. There is always a fight between the promise given and the promise fulfilled. There is a fight between those two intervals. The devil fights you in the middle. More people die in the middle of the night than the middle of the day. People have great trials and tribulations in the middle of their marriages. How many of you know if you're going to have a happy ending, you had to go through a bad middle? Every great movie that had a happy ending had a hellacious middle. And your life can be characterized by painful middles. God gave you a promise, and then you had to fight every demon in your family. family. You had to fight every demon in your mind. You had to fight every demon in Crystal River, because the devil is on a mission to break your spirit, steal your joy, rob you of your peace, and make sure that you give your prophecy an abortion. I came to tell you, do not give your prophecy an abortion. Don't you dare go down the Planned Parenthood and let them talk you into giving up on something that God is getting ready to bring to fulfillment in your life. Somebody clap your hands and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I need a witness in this house. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stay right here until God turns it around. Can I talk to you just for a few moments, child of God, about perseverance and the danger of giving up too soon? Shake your head like a black woman with some new weave and say, don't give up too soon. And what I found out about people is people usually give up right at the point of the breakthrough. People usually give up right at the point of things turning around. And it is very possible that you are your own worst enemy. You with your big fat mouth, always talking about the past, always talking about what you can't do and what you can't have, and your baby daddy, and your daddy who left your mama when you were two, and your mama was this, and your mama was that. Well, listen to me, child of God. When people come with all of that moaning, I don't call that a testimony, I call that a moaning. I say, you know what? You got a good case of the moanings, and there's a lot of people that got the moanings. You're always moaning and whining about how bad you got it. And then I look at these folks and I say, well, how in the ham sandwich are you still alive? You're still here. And a live dog is better than a dead lion. The fact that you survive to talk about how bad it is, you ought to look at it and say, that's the first half of my life, but the second half of my life is going to be better than the second half. I need about 25 people that would say part two is going to be better than part one. Am I helping anybody in this house? Turn me up just a little bit more if you would. I want you to know something, child of God. When I talk about prophecy and promises and destiny, everybody starts shouting. But there's something that nobody shouts about, and that is the wait. The fact that you can't hurry God, you got to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. In patience, you possess your soul. Anything worth having is worth waiting for. If you date a woman, and child of God, I found out something about women. Good women make you wait before you get the sugar. If you get the sugar too quick, you get sugar diabetes. A good woman makes you wait. A good meal takes time in order for it to be what a good meal is. I was in Atlanta and my mom came to see me. And I said, Mama, let me take you to this restaurant. There is no wait. And my mama looked at me and she said, don't you dare take me to that restaurant. She said, I ain't no holler back girl. And I said, what you mean, Mama? She said, there's a reason why nobody's at that restaurant. They done killed 22 people, poison 42 other folk. You gonna take me to a restaurant and kill me? She said, boy, get me over to a restaurant where I got the wait. Anything worth having is worth waiting on. And we live in a day and age where we have microwave and one touch this and one touch that. And folks don't get their car washed by hand. We go through a machine and get our cars all stretched up going through a machine. Nobody likes the wait. Nobody likes the wait for fast food. That's why you're sick now, because you're eating pink slime and all that nasty stuff at McDonald's and Burger King, and you're half dead. You can't see out your left eye. You can't hear out your left ear because you got so much junk in you, because you got to have it fast. And if you get it fast, it usually don't last. Anything you get fast, it usually blows up in your face. Anything worth having, it's worth the wait. And God sent me from Atlanta, Georgia, to tell you the blessing that he has for you is going to be worth the wait. It's going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over, good measure. It's going to be eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. I didn't think God could bless me. Your cup going to run over. Your next blessing, you're going to be shouting in your car saying, could nobody make this happen but God Almighty. I wish I had a witness to lift your hands and say, it's going to be worth the wait. Slap somebody and say, it's going to be worth the wait. Because if God is in it, the devil's going to fight it. The devil doesn't fight a parked car. The devil doesn't fight anybody that's not going in an upward direction. The devil doesn't fight anybody that's a hobo or a panhandler or somebody slaughtering or just waiting on the world to change. The devil fights people that make waves and make moves, that get out the boat and walk on the water. He fights believers, and he fights worshipers, and he fights praisers, and he fights individuals that are willing to lay hands on themselves and call those things that be not as though they were. The devil fights people that wake up saying, devil, I come to give you hell this morning. I woke up this morning with my mind on what God said he was going to do for me, and something big is going to happen for somebody over the next 4 months. If you believe it, help me shout in this house. Lay hands on yourself and say, it's going to be worth the wait. What God promised you, it's going to be worth the wait. And we live in this generation with these millennials that don't want to wait on nothing. Nobody. We don't like the wait. We say we want change, but baby, you better be careful for the change that you're asking for. We are a generation that's nervous and jittery and Prozac, Zoloft, zombie nation, where we're always twitching. It got to happen now. But you didn't get this church overnight. And there is a difference between growth and a swell. And some of you all have never grown. You're just full of infection. You're full of drama. You're full of silly dilly dally stuff. And let me tell you something, Heifer. Save the drama for your mama, because she the only one need to hear it. I come to tell every wig-wearing witch in this church something. The same broom that you flew in here on, you can fly out of here on. We made up our minds that we gonna wait on God. We gonna keep God first. And God's going to make all of our dreams according to his will come the past. Don't let nobody bluff you, and don't let nobody make you crazy. If you're crazy, make me crazy, then I'm real crazy. Am I helping anybody in this house? Don't let nobody push your buttons. Hide your buttons when nobody know where they're at but you. And don't let nobody push you over the edge. Sisters and brothers, if it's worth having, it's a wait thing. There's a thing called in this verse 36, if they can put that up there so that we can be reminded of what the scripture says. So you need endurance. Look at somebody and say, you need this. Look at somebody and tell them, you need this. You need this. You need enduring. Look at somebody and say, to be married to the man that I'm married to, I need. To have the ghetto trailer park crazy family you got, I need this. There's some things you don't need. But then there's some things you got to have if you're going to be successful in your life. And one of the things that you got to have is endurance. So that after you did what God told you to do and it don't happen like snap, crackle, and pop, you can wait until it happened. These are the kind of folks, if it don't happen according to they watch, they leave the church, they go become a Muslim, they go jump off a bridge, they blow their brains out. But let me tell you something, child of God, the sweeter the wait, the greater the victory. And if you can just wait on God, you're going to receive this promise. Everybody that ever signed up or didn't sign up or God tapped them had to wait. Abraham had to wait 25 years for Sarah to have Isaac. David had to wait 16 years in order to be king. Joseph had to wait 17 years for his thing to turn around from the pit to prison to the palace. Can we go deeper? Jesus had to wait all night before he was crucified. Everybody that got something great, they understand the power of the wait. Can we talk about Bill Gates? Before Bill Gates became Bill Gates, he went to prison in New Mexico, and he had several things that happened in his life before he became one of the richest men in the world. Things don't happen overnight. Things don't happen just like that. But when you put your hand in God's hand, it will happen the right way. And I'd rather be blessed by God than to hit the lottery or win in Las Vegas. I want my blessing to come from God. Do I have anybody in this house? And when God blesses you, he will sustain it. When God puts it together, nobody can break it up. When God orders your steps, don't let the devil get you off your path. And then I come here talking to somebody about the sure thing that God has promised you. If it's a God thing, you're going to have to wait. And I need somebody to lift your hands and say, won't he put your hips on hold? He will put your hips on hold and make you wait. You know what I found out about God? He makes you lay down. That's what the 23rd song says, that you ain't got enough sense to lay down. So God said, let me lay you down. Because we don't like waiting. We like the rush. We love it. We love it. It's got to happen now or I'm leaving. But child of God, if it's a God thing, it's a wait thing. But it's going to be worth the wait. It's going to be more than worth the wait. How many people in your ministry, Brother Cash, that just had to get married right then? And they don't care if it was Woolly the Wino or Harry the Horny Toad. They just had to get married right then. My grandmother told this girl, she said, honey, I don't think this is the man for you. And you know, when you tell folks, I don't think or suggest that maybe they should wait, they think you're trying to control their lives. And this woman told my grandmother, she said, I already bought a dress. And let me tell you something. A dress ain't worth HIV. And the man that this woman married was a down low brother who liked men and women at the same time. And next thing you know, 2 years later, we was burying this woman from HIV AIDS because I already bought the dress. And some people already bought the dress, but her family had to go buy the casket. And there are people that signed up for something on one end that they couldn't pay for on another end. I don't ever want an illegal blessing. I don't ever want a blessing that doesn't come from God. I went with somebody in this room. If I'm going to be blessed, I want to wake up saying, this is the day that the Lord has made, and the Lord made it happen. Pastor Ronnie Reed built this big old church. Look at this big old church in Crystal River, Florida. But he waited until the time was right. And the Bible said at the right time, God sent Jesus. One thing about God, he knows your time and he knows when it's your turn. And I wish I had somebody to lift your hands and say, it's my turn to be happy. It's my turn to have joy. It's my turn to have absolute peace in my life. And I've had enough hell and drama and craziness. I'm not going to go through any more self-inflicted drama in my life. Somebody open your mouth and say, enough is enough. See, y'all see me tonight at this beautiful church, but you weren't with me in Claxton, Georgia, when I preached at this raggedy old church in Claxton, Georgia, and this old woman said the Lord told her to make me a fruitcake. I don't even like fruitcake. But this old bag kept giving me a fruitcake, and I got the fruitcake, and I took it home, and my mom said, we don't eat fruitcake. And we tried to give it to the dog, and the dog sniffed it and then peed on it. And every year, she said, the Lord told me to give you a fruitcake. Listen, you got to question people when they say the Lord told them to give you a fruitcake. They secretly trying to tell you something. I was so glad when the Lord released me from going to Claxton, Georgia, the fruitcake capital of the world, and they have the right name. They are the nuttiest people in the entire, they are past their quota. But I did that. And I did Brunswick and Pulaski, Tennessee. And I went to these churches as a missionary that didn't have a roof. And I slept on the floor in the Philippines and slept in a raggedy hotel in Maryland. And I was held at gunpoint in Fort Lauderdale at the Red Lobster. Sometimes you look at folks and you think, I wish I could be them and I wish I could do what they do. And you don't have a clue. Have you lost your mind? You gonna be Ronnie Reed and you haven't even been through the MIP program. You can't even take care of your dog and you gonna pastor 500 people. We had a woman in our church and she treated her dog like a person and she had him dressed up in ugly sweaters. In 95 degrees, her dog was just in sweaters and he would look at us and say, help me, please, help me. Help me. And one day, I'm telling you, one day her dog got outside and there was an opening in her fence and the dog got underneath the opening and the dog started running and never came back home. And that's how you ought to be when you get away from somebody crazy. Run at. See, some of y'all was in some jacked up crazy churches. Some of y'all were in some jacked up crazy relationships. You did what you wanted to do. You had that Burger King Holy Ghost. I'ma do it my way. I'ma have it my way. I'm not gonna wait on nobody. I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. I know. And some people you need to run from. If his mama tell you he crazy and his sister look at you and say, you need to get out of here, you might need to go. After you've done the will of God, you need patience in order to do it that you might receive this promise. And I came from Atlanta, Georgia to tell you it's ready for you, but you ain't ready for it. And the worst thing you can do, and we did it in America for years, we called it welfare, where we gave people money just to have babies. And we made a whole generation of people socially, financially, and mentally handicapped. We handicapped them, and we made them so addicted to government that they didn't even want to work. Everybody homeless don't want a house. Woo! And we got a whole bunch of folks who don't want to do nothing, who don't want to give nothing, who don't want to help nothing, who don't want to promote nothing, who don't want to change nothing, who never challenge anything. And all they want to do is just sit and walk around the same mountain that lend me, give me, let me have mentality. And if you keep letting people milk you, they will milk you until you dry up like a prune. I made up my mind that I am not going to let nobody in my family or the church drain me of my life, drain me of my joy. I got a purpose connected to my life, and by God, I'm going to do it. So help me God. You need endurance. You need patience so that after you did what God told you to do, it'll happen. I came to tell you something big is getting ready to happen. You're getting free and getting loose and getting bondage and fear and doubt and insecurity out of your life. And I come to tell you, this is the first day of the rest of your life. And this revival is going to mark the beginning of new focus, new fire, new zeal, new anointing. I don't know who I'm talking to. The devil should have killed you before you got the Crystal River. But the devil lets you live to connect with a man of God who's full of the fire and the zeal of God, and something big is about to happen. Hallelujah. Touch three people and say, this is a new season for me. Woo. This is a new season, and I know it's God. Lift both of your hands and say, I know it's God. I know it's God. Somebody's starting a business. Somebody's going to get a new job. Somebody's going to move out of that apartment. And God's going to put you in a place that you couldn't afford 5 years ago. But 5 years later, you're stronger and wiser and ready for the blessings of God to happen in your life. Somebody shout. Why? Can I have your chair for just a minute? You know why it's going to happen? Because you learned how to tell yourself, sit your tail down and listen to the man of God and your leaders. God gives us pastors for a reason, to instruct us and to guide us and keep us on the right track. You know, my son, he thinks I'm the candy man. You know, because I'm not as much as a disciplinarian as his mom. But the Holy Ghost jacked me up and said, you are not Santa Claus. And if you don't help your son understand your purpose as a father, he's going to give you great heartache. Oh, I just helped somebody. Y'all don't like people to talk about your kids. If you don't discipline your kids, they're going to give you great heartache. You got to do the will of God, even if it hurts you. And how many of you can honestly say, sometime the best thing that happened to you was you went into a drug rehab, or you went to prison, or you had a situation that happened in your life where God slowed you down? See, if the devil can't slow you down, he'll speed you up, and you'll start going and going and going, and then you'll have a meltdown. Oh, I'm helping somebody. I'd rather just be still or for God to help me be still. Because God can put you in a room. You know, some people lose their family. They almost have to lose their family to wake up one morning and say, I'm sick of this mess. Have you ever seen where folks have to go through the worst of it before they could get to the best of it? I need somebody that's been through the last 3 years of your life. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you would not be alive. You were in so much pain and heartache, but God put something in your spirit that gave you the power to hold out. Lift your hands and say, I got this. I got endurance. Yeah, and I'm not going to rush it. I'm not going to overthink. And my God, stop listening to stupid people. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, come on, let me tell you something. Never let a naked man sell you clothes. You know what I found out, Sister Cash? People get advice from the stupidest people. They get marriage counseling from somebody that's been married 9 times. I guess you can tell me you've been married 9 times. And they say, well, I'm going to tell you this, but I'm about to get another woman tomorrow. Ooh, we listen to folks that can't help us because we're needy and we're codependent and we just glob on the people and we put so much weight on relationships with people that the people literally have to leave us to get air. And these people that you run to, you're not accountable to them, and they're not responsible for you. And when you tell them your business, they go tell everybody else your business, and then you're hurt, and you're wounded, and you've got to learn to run to the throne and get off that phone. Grab somebody's cell phone. Say, let me have your cell phone. Say, let me delete every stupid person in your phone right now. Because you ain't got the strength to do it. You ain't got the energy to do it. You ain't got the power to do it. But over these next 4 months, in the name of Jesus, delete crazy people out of your life before they kill you. Am I helping him? What are you saying, Zig? What I'm trying to tell you, if the devil can't slow you down, he'll speed you up. And you'll get hooked up with the wrong people that take you to the wrong place, and then they drop you like a bad habit, and then you mad at the world, and you run from the people that's trying to help you, and you run to the people that's trying to kill you. You need this endurance, because if it's a God thing, you better sit your tail down and let God open it up. Lay hands on yourself and say, God's gonna open some things up. Because I'm learning to wait on him. I'm learning to do his will. And boy, you're going to receive his promises. And his promise is houses that you did not build. Vineyards that you did not plant. His promise is your sleep going to be sweet. His promise is, I don't know how he going to do it, if he have to put the money in the fish mouth so that you can pay your bills, God's going to provide for you. His name is Jireh. He is the God that provides. And I want you to understand something. God sent me here to tell you, don't worry about his part. You do your part and praise him while you're waiting. Praise him while you're waiting. Hallelujah. If it's a God thing, repeat after me. If it's a God thing, it's a wait thing. Give me your order. Give me your order. And you need me to go in this kitchen and put it together. But let me tell y'all something, folk. The restaurant is one place. The kitchen is something totally different. You get cussed out in the kitchen. They be in there fighting over your ham sandwich. They waste grease on the floor and they just throw baking soda on the floor. See, you think when you go to a restaurant, the dining room is beautiful. The kitchen don't look like. And in order to get the blessing, it's a fight in the kitchen. God has been in the kitchen fighting every generational curse, every demon, every stronghold. And when God brings that meal out of that kitchen, it's going to be, he's going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemy. When God delivers that meal from the kitchen, you're going to say, I haven't had anything this good in my life. Somebody shout in this house. Sit down. Come here. Come here, Ron. Come here, Ronnie. Come here, Sherry. Start cooking. See, they in the kitchen. Cook. They in the kitchen. He don't know what he's doing, but he in the kitchen. Put some salt on it. Put some pepper on it. See, before you get your meal, what you got to do? You got to wait until what? They are finished. See, if they bring it out too bloody, you're going to send it back. If they bring it back and it's crispy, you're going to send it back. When God blesses you, you ain't never sent back nothing that God cooked in the Holy Ghost kitchen. I wish I had somebody. God's been cooking in the Holy Ghost kitchen, and you ready to eat the blessings of the Lord. Lay hands on somebody and say, every bite is going to be worth it if you waited on it. That's it. It's going to be worth it. Every bite of it is going to be worth it. Lift your hands. I don't know who I'm talking to, but your future is so bright. You need to go get you a pair of shades. Your future is so amazing. You're going to laugh at the devil and say, devil, you should have killed me before I got the Crystal River. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right in your life. Somebody shout in this place. See, when you were in the hospital, you were in the wait. You were waiting. When you were going through that prison experience, God made you sit down, and you were waiting on him to fix this thing up. You don't mind if I talk about you? This brother went through a separation. Look how pretty she is. And look how okay he is. But you didn't know what was going to happen. But while you was nervous, because you can't lose a woman like this, this kind of woman, Lord, have mercy. This is a whoa man, Lord, have mercy. God was in there cooking. And he was cooking a meal called reconciliation. And you sitting there trying to figure out how to get these divorce papers and separations, how I'm going to pay this woman. And God's saying, you ain't going to have to pay one dime. Because I know how to fry eggs. I know how to do bacon. I know how to do grits. I know how to do a sausage. And I can give you some orange juice and put a little green plant on the bill to make you know that I know how to put it together. Look at somebody and say, he going to hook you up. Holler at your boy if God ever hooked you up. See, you had to wait for things to develop. Point at somebody and say, you're not waiting on something small. Look up, how big is your next blessing? Somebody do like this. Draw it. How big is it? How big is your prophecy? That's why the devil's fighting it. That's why the devil's trying to make you quit. That's why the devil's trying to make you throw in the towel. And he's trying to break your spirit. Somebody start shouting about your next blessing. Somebody go to shouting about your next blessing. Shout about it. Oh. If it's a God thing. Let's go down, let's call the road, Doc. If it's a God thing, it's a weight thing. And if it's a weight thing, baby, it's a trust thing. You got to trust God when you can't trace it. Job said, I don't know where he at, but he know where I'm at. He said, I go to here, he's not here. I go there, he's not there, but he knows the way that I take. And sometimes God hides in the wait, and he's looking at your attitude to see if you can maintain your integrity while you're waiting on him. It's one thing to say you trust God. It's another thing to be able to trust God when all hell breaking loose in your life and the devil's telling you that was just your imagination and it really ain't going to happen. But the devil is a liar. God didn't bring you this far to let you go under. How, Shama? I feel something in this house. It's a trust. Reach and grab God's hand right now. And say, I trust you. I trust God. Sister Sherry quoted a scripture, and I never forgot it. And every time I think about what my dad calling me for? He know I'm in church. Anyway, every time I think about Sherry, this scripture comes to me. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. And the God of peace will give you peace concerning crazy stuff. I want you to put your hands on your head and say, I don't know how do I sleep at night with all this hell going on in my life. It's got to be God, because I'm going through some stuff that nobody knows about. Nobody would understand. I couldn't articulate it. It has to be God who's holding things together. Your mama died. Your sister died. Your brother died. You thought you would have a breakdown. You went through this and you went through that and you're still standing after all you've been through. It has to be God. It's a trust thing. Jill's gonna marry a man of God. Where's that girl with them cowboy boots that can sing but don't open her mouth like she should? Stand up. There she is. She's gonna have a great family and a great future. Am I talking to anybody in this house? Yeah. 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 Stand up, Kelly. You're going to have a great business, super business. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. Am I talking to anybody else? There's my friend. There's my friend there. There she is. You're going to have a great, fruitful, long-term, successful business. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. Your children. Just keep your hand in God's hand and you're going to be all right. Am I talking to anybody? You just hold on, brother. Don't stop coming. God's got a blessing with your name on it. Don't you ever doubt it. God got you here on purpose. He got you here for a reason. You shall live and not die. And you're going to declare the works of the Lord. I wish, mama, keep on shouting. I don't care what people say about you. God has promises that have not yet been fulfilled. But it shall happen. I don't know. You got grandchildren, family. And God said, in 90 days, your family is not going to look like what y'all been going through. It's been a demonic attack. The devil has attacked your bloodline. But your prayers have gone up before God. And he will deliver you, old lady. Somebody shout for that old woman. Come here, son. Give God a praise about your future. Go down that aisle. Praise God about your future. Somebody shout about your future. Somebody shout. Hey! Oh! Hatabakasaya. Ilanabokosharanabaha. Help me shout, girl. Help me shout. Help me shout. It's going to happen, Jill. It's got to happen. You know why? A promise is a promise is a promise. And my mama told me, somebody said, what your mama told you? My mama told me, a promise is only as strong as the person who gave it to you. Point at this girl and say, a promise is a promise is a promise. I don't care what it looks like. If God said you're going to live, if God said you're going to beat this cancer, if God said you're going to beat this diabetes, if God said you're going to beat this addiction, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God don't lie. And there's one thing. Anybody got tissue? Give me that tissue. I'll buy some. Go to verse 35. If you miss this verse, you miss the whole verse. He said, you need this. And then he says, don't do this. You go to verse 36. Verse 36 says, you need this. And verse 35 says, don't get rid of this. Some things you need, and some things you can't get rid of. Some people, you think you need them, you don't need them as much as you think you do. You just think you need them. And you know what? The devil wants you to feel like you need them more than you need God. And I've been preaching it for the last 3 years. Get off that phone and get in the throne room. I love that movie about the war room where that woman won her marriage on her knees. She didn't go talking to folks. She got it. That old woman, that old grandma told her baby, you can fight with your husband or you can fight the devil and take the fight right where it belongs. Ow! Go to verse 36. Go to verse 36. Let's go to verse 36. He says, you need this. Verse 35. You need this, but you can't throw this away. And it's the big word, confidence. And what happens to many of us, you get beat down so bad that you throw away your confidence. Ain't nothing like a person who been beat down by life and they threw away their confidence. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, pretty girl. I'm talking to you, beautiful girl. I'm talking to you, gifted, intelligent, blessed, favored. You came for God to talk to you because you threw away your confidence. You just let the devil have confidence. You remember Ruth and Naomi? Naomi said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because I've lost my confidence. You know how Peter felt when Jesus was sitting there eating fish with him? And he said, Peter, you love me? He lost his confidence. And sometimes you can get hit so hard that you lost your ability to get back up. And the devil says, huh, I showed you. And then God stops by like a good Samaritan and binds up your wounds and pours oil on your head and gives you a word in your ear that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're more than a conqueror. You're going to get your joy back. You're going to get your focus back. You're going to get your power. Elijah called down fire. He said, fire. Rain. Rain. And then Jezebel said, if I catch you, I'm going to kill you. and he got under a juniper tree, he lost his confidence. And the same Elijah that called down fire 24 hours ago had a nervous breakdown 24 hours later. Shake somebody and say, I don't care how strong you are, there's something that can get to you. Ronnie Reed was riding a motorcycle across America. And you know what I said? I wish it was me on the back of that motorbike. You know, you understand. What I'm saying is sometimes you just need to go somewhere where it's just you and him. And let God fill you up till you overflow, and then you start running over. Jesus said, y'all boys, go on to the other side. I'll catch up with you. They said, Jesus, you ain't got a boat. Go on to the other side. I'll catch up with you. Jesus, you want us to come go to the other side and then come back and pick you up? Go to the other side. I'll catch up. And the disciples were like, how he gonna catch up? And then in the middle of the night, a hurricane came. And guess what happened to 12 men? They lost their confidence. And they were screaming like little girls. And in the middle of the night, he started walking on the water. In the middle of the night, I don't know who I'm talking to, but it looks like Jesus is walking on the water in the middle of the night. Somebody in this room, you need a water walker in the middle of the night. Watch this. Watch this. Come here. Come here, babe. Come here. Get your confidence. Take it home with you. Say, this is my confidence. You just take that one. Yeah. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Yeah. Pick up your confidence and take it home. Come here, my preacher. Yes. Bring your wife with you. Yes, confidence is, I trust you, and things ain't easy. Your confidence, and take it home with you. Come here, pick up your confidence. Yes, Lord, I can't lose this. Come here, preacher. Come here, Jersey. Come here. Yes, yes, yes. Pick up. With your confidence. Yeah. Come at the pick up your confidence. All hell break it loose. But I'm getting my confidence. Yeah, the devil after you, but get your confidence. Hold it up in the air and say, devil, I got my confidence. Being confident of this very thing. He that hath begun a good work. Come here. Come here. Come here. Get your confidence. Hold it up in the air. What does this mean? He says, if you keep your confidence, you're not going to get a reward. You're going to get a great reward. Grab somebody's hand and say, neighbor, I feel like shouting all over this church about a great reward. Somebody is about to get a blessing that's going to blow your mind. If I'm talking to you, give God a praise. Give him a praise. He didn't say a reward. He says a great one. Lift your hands all over this room. He said, your next blessing is going to be great. Your next blessing, get it, girl? It's going to be great. Hey, Lord. Somebody walk up here. Somebody come. There you go. Go and get some confidence. Somebody go and get some confidence. Go and get some confidence. Don't let the devil have it. Don't let the devil see you sweat. Don't let the devil back you down. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil take your power. Don't let him have your confidence. Yes. Yes. Go to verse 36. Go to verse 36. Go to verse 36. And I'm done. If you keep your confidence and you keep your endurance, there's a promise. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Am I helping anybody in this room? And God said, comma, after you've done the will of God, stop. You may receive the promise. Dot, dot. Next verse is going to blow your mind. Oh, I feel like doing the hokey pokey up in this mug. Go to verse number 37. For yet, somebody put two fingers together like this and say, it's not going to be long. Yeah, that's the word that God told me to tell you. Your blessing is on the fast track. Your blessing is in the HOV lane, driving 85 miles an hour. Your next blessing is at the FedEx store. It's going to be overnight delivery. Your next blessing, it's going to be a little while. I want somebody to open your big mouth and shout about a little while. It's not going to be as long as you thought. Play that organ. Clap your hands. Stand up on your feet and shout right now. Wait a minute. Y'all didn't get it. Come here, Jill. Read that. Yet.
A little while.
That's all. Go sit down, Jill. That's all. Come here. Come here, sweet cakes. Read that verse.
And he.
For yet
a little while. Mm-hmm.
And he who is coming
will come and will not.
He coming. In other words, he will come. And ain't nothing gonna stop it. Get somebody's hand and rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them. And say a little while, neighbor. And what you're crying about, you're going to be laughing about it. Look at that woman shouting over there. There's a breakthrough in this house. There's a miracle in this house. There's a shout in this house. There's a glory cloud in this house. It's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. It's not going to be. Hold a minute. I want you to do me a favor. Do like this. And walk up on somebody that's been going through a tough thought, that's been going through a rough situation, that's been going through a financial crisis, that's been going through a domestic crisis, that's been going through an emotional roller coaster of events in your life. Last month it was this. Month before last it was that. I've been dealing with so much drama. I feel like I'm in a Tyler Perry movie. But God told me to tell you tonight, it's not going to be as long as you thought to get your blessing. It's not going to be long. It's on the way. It's being FedExed. It's being UPS. It's on the way. It's getting ready to happen. When I count to three, start shouting. One, two, three, go. Shout. Praise him, son. Praise him in the aisle. Praise him in the aisle. I feel a shout in here. Go on and praise him. My God, my God. Listen, run down here and get you some confidence. Run down here and get you some confidence. And walk back like you own the place. Walk back like you own this church. Shout it out. Shout it out. Oh, I gotta pray. I gotta praise. I gotta praise and I gotta get it out. I gotta praise. Oh, I gotta pray. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. I feel a shout in here. My God, my God. Go on and wave it in the air. Wave it in the air. Wave it in the... Keep on singing. Wave it. Yeah. Go on, wave it in the air. Wave it. Listen, did you see that verse? A little while. In other words, it ain't gonna be a long wait. When my mom said, when we going to get ice cream? My mom said, in a little while. If God says a little while, that means it's not gonna be long. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, God's gonna save your son. In a little while, God's gonna save your son. In a little while, he's gonna save your husband. In a little while, he's gonna save your daughter. In a little while, a little while, a little while, a little while. I prophesy to this body, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I want you to just lay hands on yourself and say, the wait is over. The wait is over. It's getting ready to happen. Something great, something big, something powerful, something that's going to be absolutely what you prayed for. Shout, shout, shout. Pick up your feet and shout. Pick your feet up. Pick up your feet. Lift your hands all over this room and give God a praise. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, point at somebody and say, neighbor, I don't know how you feel about it. The devil is a liar. My blessing will be here in a little while. Say yeah. Yeah. Listen, lift your hands a little while. Ooh, a little while. Come on, lay hands on your chest. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut off. Child of God, child of God, child of God, hold on. Your blessing is on the way. Hold on. Your miracle is on the way. Hold on. Your breakthrough is on the way. Somebody say yes, Lord. Glory to Jesus. Listen. Verse number 36. Let's go back to that. I got to leave you. You may receive the promise. If it's a God thing, it's a wait thing, it's a trust thing, and guess what else? It's a promise thing. It is so. Yes, it is so. He will do just what he said. If he said it, he will do it. It is so. Yes, it is so. He will do just what he said. Hold the music. Your healing is a promised thing. Your restoration is a promised thing. Point at Ronnie Reed and say, your ministry is a promise thing. Last night we prayed for my niece, Jillian. And she went home last night, happy, full of joy, and went to bed and slept. Drove 2 hours tonight. You know why? Because a promise is a promise is a promise. And guess why else she came? Because her mama made some yum yum. Anyway, the reason why she came is because when God gives you a promise, my mama used to say, when the devil say no, God say yes. I don't know, I feel somebody's knees been bothering them. You had a knee replacement. God can put new strength in your knees. I just felt that, look at that. I felt it in the spirit. Knees get to hurting and aching and cramping up. God can touch your body. In the name of Jesus. Somebody's hips and legs and lower extremities. You ain't got to live your life bent over and broke down. And guess what else? You ain't got to live the rest of your life in poverty, in fear, in doubt, and insecurity when the promises of God are so sure. My dad told me when I was a kid, when I'm up, you up. I couldn't sleep the 12 and 11 and 10 o'clock. He said, if I'm up, you up. And your job is to get a job if you ain't got a job. If you grew up in the Ziegler house, my father was in the military, and then my father retired as an engineer, and my father's been a high school football coach. Lord have mercy, 43 years he has worked. Ain't no quitting him. Ain't no quitting him. Ain't nothing worse than a lazy person mooching off of people. Socialism is you take other people's blessing and give it to people that didn't work for it. God don't do that. I said, God don't do that. A man had 5 talents. He went and turned 5 into 10. A man had 2. He took 2 and turned that into 4. A man had 1 and he buried it. And you know what God did? Took his and gave it to the one that had 10. And told the man that didn't do nothing with the promise of God, threw him in the darkness. It's dangerous not to do anything with the promises of God. He gave you a promise. If you lose it, you can get it back. Your confidence. You can get it back. Softly. You can get it back. Every eye closed. And I want you to confess, because I'm going to confess, I've lost confidence so many times. And most recently, I lost my confidence, Sister Reed, and my four-year-old son spoke a word to me that energized me. And I want you to know I came from Atlanta, Georgia, to tell you, get it back. Your confidence. Get it back. You've been beat down in your own house, scared, intimidated, manipulated, dominated, and you've taken it and taken it. And people say stuff like, you ain't never gonna be happy. The devil is a lie. I'm gonna be happy, happy, happy. What's that man on Duck Dynasty? Happy, happy, happy. I'm gonna be happy, happy, happy. And you too can have that kind of joy. I want you to right now come to this altar and say, Brother Ziegler, I want my confidence back. I want to pray for you, John. Come and say it again. Say it again.
Joy unlimited.
Say it again.
Joy unlimited.
Speak it again.
Joy unlimited.
Joy unlimited. That's what God wants to give. And if you come to this altar tonight, I guarantee God will help you with that confidence thing. Oh, for grace to trust him more. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Help me. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. How I trust him. How I prove you are. Sing that song. Jesus. Come on, Jill. Come help us sing this song. You know it? Give me your mic. Tis so sweet. Sing it. To trust in. If you know this song, wave at me. You know it? Sing. Sing it again, sir. Oh, yes, Lord. How I prove. Sing it. All for grace. Sing it again. Lift those hands. Lift those hands. Sing the song. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace. To not bad. Not bad at all. You sung it just the way I wanted it sung. Listen to me very carefully. Bring that music down just a little bit. I'm no competition for the instruments. Listen to me, real easy. Several of you out here, listen, the promises of God are sure, solid. It's a sure thing. And I want every person in this room to hear me tonight. This word is for this church. This word is for me and for us. God wants us to get to a point where we're willing to wait, not throw away our confidence, and receive this sure thing that he said was already ours. I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you and just start walking to this front. If this word was for you, I needed this. I've been struggling, straining, fighting for my kids to be saved. It's already done. I've been fighting and not sleeping and up all night. Go to bed. Things are going to work out. God gave a promise. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. It's a sure thing. Say it. It's a sure thing. Come here, John. John, come here, son. Roger Cash, where's our executive pastor? Where's our executive pastor? Come on. Where's Roger Cash? Come on, Johnny. Thank God for Johnny Cash. Come on. Lift your hand, son. Give me some. Come on up here, darling. Come on. Give me some praying women. Where them Holy Ghost demon stomping angel bought women? Bring me them Holy Ghost women. Come on up here, babies. There you go. We got these women. Come on around. Give me another one of them demon stomping women. Give me one of them demon stompers. There we go. Lift your hands. We want to anoint you tonight. Want to lay out. Come on, pastor. We want to anoint you tonight. Brother Cash, oh God. Oh God, touch his family. Touch him. God, we, oh Jesus. Give her some of that oil. Point your hand towards our youth pastor. Oh, the power of God. Do a new thing in him. From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Do a new work. A new work. A new work in him. Oh, Jesus. Now lift your hands. Lift your hands as high as you can get them. All right, prayer warriors. Stand right here, dear. Oh, God. Come get some oil, honey. I want to anoint you for new confidence. I want to anoint you for new confidence. I want to anoint you for new confidence. A new level of confidence. Not arrogance. Not sadity. Not uppity. I want to anoint you. Anoint the hands of the. Come on, women. Come on, Jill. Get some oil on you. I want you to pray for my young people. All my young teenagers, get on the stage. Come on, baby. Come on. Don't look back. You just start walking. Get over there. And I want you to lay hands on them. Get over there. Stand right here. All my teenagers, get up here. And when John gets up, he need to be down there for as long as it takes. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Are you ready for new confidence? Peer pressure is not going to destroy you. You're not going to be controlled by peer pressure. Hey. Start laying hands on them. Start laying hands on them. In the. Oh God, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's happening. It's happening. Spirit of peace. Peace come over him. It's all right. It's all right. In the name of Jesus. Everything that the devil means for evil, we rebuke it. Let God use you. Let God use you. Sing it again. Come on, let's go pray for the people of God. Come on, women. Just all these people out here. We're going to let the youth win. All youth. Wait a minute. All youth workers, come minister to your kids. All youth workers. Youth workers. Youth assistants. Youth. Youth workers, come forward. Come on, son. Lift your hands. Come on, youth workers. This is your harvest. Lift your hands, people. God gonna give you new confidence. Let's go pray for the people. Sing. Give me my altar workers. Give me some.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.